Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time. Because like I said, this is such an important thing, but this is something that people walk on and then think is dirt. This is something that people just take for granted, just like their health, right? Yeah. So thank you for being here, for focusing on the invisible world, the things that we often neglect. This is the invisible world your plants and soils rely upon. I'm Matt Powers, your host. Let's begin. So did you know that for plants, that the fungi that matter most are actually usually invisible to us? So you're like, which fungi, man? What are you talking about, right? Because you may be looking at the saprophytes on bottom and like, I can see them just fine. Well, there's another way to look at them. As you can see, the saprophyte, you know, there's two saprophyte images. And then mycorrhizal and then endophytic. So mycorrhizal is so incredibly important. But, you know, what about using a regular light microscope to check fungi? You might be asking yourself, like this, you know, you can clearly see the separations, clearly see that it's, you know, a strand of fungal hyphae. Yeah, it's cool. This is great. But this is not the end, right? This is just the saprophyte breakdown, right? And so this is just a part of soil creation, part of decomposition cycling. What's so cool here is you can see testate amoebae mixed in here. There's one top left quadrant, one bottom left quadrant, one bottom right quadrant. The compost and the soil hyphae we find, you know, in these instances are saprophytic, and they're part of this process of soil creation, part of this process of decomposition. And they're awesome. They're incredibly important, but they're just part of a cycle and a story that indirectly affects our plants. Indirectly. The plants we grow mostly for food. I know blueberries are like the exception, but everything else essentially that we grow for food partners with arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, not the Swiss chard, not the non-mycorrhizals. And those things, you know, can set back your garden and can set back your soil. And that's one of the reasons why people, you know, have shifted away from that. But arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, it partners, and you're like, what is arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi? What is AMF? Well, it's this incredible thing. This, you're looking at it right now. See those train tracks going up at those lines, and some places they're broken and there's little spores, and there's little places where the spores were released. The spores are the round parts attached to it. That's fungi. That is the hyphae, and the glow is the evidence of it doing its job. Okay. So it partners with over 90% of plants. And it's all the growing plants except for the cold temperate and the non-mycorrhizals like Swiss chard, like amaranth, like my Aztec spinach, right? And so like all of those, you know what I mean? It's just a small minority. It's essentially the weedy plants and the plants that are growing in the alpine cold temperate climates and in the heights as well. It looks like this. There are these veins running through, and they're augmenting and pumping in phosphorus. Mycorrhizal fungi is also responsible for a third to a half of all global carbon sequestration. So all the drawdown of building the blackness and the darkness of our soil is coming through this avenue for the most part. It can increase absorption of phosphorus by 10,000 times, hence the glow, right? That's why it's glowing. And that's why we know it's working, because it's creating that glow, because that's a byproduct of its activities. Mycorrhizal fungi does so much more that most people don't realize. It's a dynamic, you know, biofertilizer in so many different ways, micro, macro. It's like releasing all these nutrients. And it's also, you know, it's stimulating the plant so that it grows. And that's what makes a biofertilizer, right? A microbe that gives the plant the nutrients it needs to grow. And it actually extends the roots. You know, the ectomycorrhizae ensheaths the roots and increases roots by many thousands of times. It enhances the ability. It creates discretion. So instead of the brassicas suddenly uptaking, the harmful substances from the groundwater, you have a situation where they're buffered, where there's discretion, where there's protection. And so this is one of the reasons why mycorrhizal fungi is so critically important, because we need it there to protect our plants, because they evolved with it. It was only removed by tillage and a lack of understanding for about 100, 150 years. It enhances photosynthesis, and it is an ISR trigger. So it's induced systemic resistance, and so immediately, and it permanently goes on high alert. So it goes into a different reaction level in terms of its immune system, and it never goes back. It goes, there's an invader here, because it goes inside the plant, right? And then it never stops. And it's a beneficial reaction, not a negative reaction. And so there's a remediation quality to this group of fungi, and different fungi can do different things. They have different strengths. Heavy metal and toxic remediation. We have to remember that when we say arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, they can partner with dozens of different kinds of arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi in real time on their roots. There's not like a, oh, I'm just a one species person. It doesn't work that way. They are very open to connecting with everyone. And there are some plants and trees that are both ecto and endo mycorrhizal. So these things are incredible. They also, make amino acids. And so they're going to be doing the protein biosynthesis. So it goes from nitrogen sources to amino acids to peptides to proteins. And so it's that if we just save a link in that process, which is what lactic acid bacteria does, that's what that lab thing that everyone's doing for EM, That's what that does. It turns the nitrates into amino acids. And so does fungi. So does mycorrhizal fungi specifically. And then the energy reserve. Oh my word. This is how the plant invests. You're like, why is the plant giving all this nutrient and energy to a foreign invader? Well, it evolved with it. It's not foreign, actually. These plants want that relationship. They want the infection, quote, to happen and that relationship to establish, because at the end of the life cycle, and it's not quite the end of the life cycle, it goes into more of a stasis, a senescence, where things can still happen. And so it releases its spore, and then you have this lipid-rich reserve on the hyphae that can be reabsorbed by the plant at any time. So it really is an investment the plant makes and gets back, and lipids are the highest storage unit of energy for the plant. It's absolutely incredible. And if you think about lipids and fats, long-time storage in the soil, right? And who does this? This is the arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, and this is part of the reason why they're so good at sequestering. It sticks. It's sticky. It's fat. And so this is all stuff that makes sense once you know it. That's the beauty of our regenerative world, is when you encounter the real thing, you get it. It sticks. Because you can go and prove it, you can replicate it, you can see it for yourself, and you can know it. And it's that competency confidence loop that I set all my students upon. They start doing it, they start living it, they start replicating and verifying for themselves, and then they gain that higher level of confidence. That's very different than a lot of the programs that you see online, programs that you see even in person. So it's really about that micro to macro understanding, mycorrhizal fungi is a linchpin to all of this. So it's a soil builder, it's a conditioner, it's an acidifier. So it's going to be bringing in energy, holding more water, aka acidifying. And then it produces glomalin, which is like the glue of soil. And it's this carbonaceous sticky substance, and it binds things together. It was discovered in the 90s. I mean, that's how new this information is. That glomalin, something that we all should know about, was only discovered in the 90s. So this, and I can keep going through this, but we have to understand that you can't see this fungi with all these benefits, all this importance with a regular microscope. You can see the decomposition one. You can see the decomposition, but that doesn't have anything to do with mycorrhizal fungi. They're completely different phylum. They're not going to cross phylum. So there's no relationship. Instead, the life cycle of mycorrhizal fungi is different. Their life cycle is that they senesce and they stick in the root and the root dies and then turns into a propagule that the next year's roots in the no-till situation, right? No tilling or light tilling on top so that they get to this layer that's undisturbed. Those roots are going to encounter the old root section that has the fungi still in it, and the fungi will reanimate and infect the new roots. So like I said, we have to think about the actual pathway, the actual life cycle. But wait, who am I? I'm Matt Powers. I was a musician. I toured all over the U.S. I played with folks like this. I had a lot of fun. And I met my wife in the middle of that. We got married and we had our first child. This is James. Yes, he's been playing guitar since he was a baby. That explains why he's on his fifth album now. And while we were young, 18 years ago? No, 17 years ago. 17 years ago, my wife got cancer and lost her thyroid. And they brought in the pill that she was to take to oblate, to destroy with radiation her thyroid in a case. And they were in a suit. She wasn't in a suit. They dropped the case and like waddled out and told her to open the case and take the thing inside the case. And she opened it. There was another case inside the case. And she opens the second case and there's a little pill inside. She has to take the pill. They just waddled in a suit. She has to take the pill. I don't know how she took the pill. She took the pill. 3 months later, she got cancer all over her body, another form of cancer from that radiation. This is one of the main reasons why good doctors don't do that radiation anymore. And in fact, some of them still do that don't know. But the doctors, when they found out that they did this to my wife, were totally shocked. And they were like, what? You know, years later, when we found good doctors, the doctors at the time, when I pressed them about whether this could have happened because of the radiation, wouldn't meet my eye and quickly left the room. So in other words, their actions showed their guilt. And I, being a young father and a young husband, flipped out. Like, I mean, I lost it. I don't trust the medical industry. I don't trust doctors. I found a few doctors over the past 20 years, maybe two or three. Out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. You know, we've moved 13 times in our 20 years of marriage. So yeah, I've seen it. I've traveled and I know. And it burned all that trust out of me long ago. And so when people are like, well, I don't know if I trust them. Yeah, okay. We already burned that bridge years ago. And when she was recovering from the second bout of cancer, which she had to get operated and it almost reached her lymph nodes, I said, what do you want to do, sweetie? And she prayed about it. And her answer was she wanted to go to recover with her mom and dad. And her mom was living at my wife's father's grandparents' house. So we ended up being four generations on one site for almost 10 years. So I raised my boys over there. And this is the garage. You can see the garage doors on the left behind everything. This is the garage, the wood shop where we lived for 9 years. The mechanic garage is one side. The wood shop was the other. It was concrete floors with peeling paint. And on the other side, there was all these asbestos lathe machines and wasn't the safest environment. But we did our best and I raised our boys here. We did permaculture. We grew our own food, but as I was trying to do the Gerson therapy, those eight juices a day, I kind of lost my mind. Because if you know what it is, It's like constantly cleaning everything and doing the coffee enemas the right way, the endless juices, and then like the food processor and all the crazy things to remove the fibers. It was so much work that I couldn't A, keep up with it. And I kind of lost my mind trying to serve my wife. And she was like, no more. You're just too stressed out. Do something else after 2 years. And I also couldn't afford it. And so I had to start growing that food. And I also had to get, you know, healthcare. And so I started subbing, became a permanent sub in Fresno, one of the like district subs. So I was always guaranteed a spot and had options for healthcare. And then I became a full-time teacher at a charter school, Minarets in O'Neill's in California. And we raised our kids out there. So just below Yosemite, our boys, this is James. James is 17 now. He did start at this age riding horses and working with wild horses. And so that's Tank. Tank and he spent over a decade working together. I think 15 years. So we have deep roots in this space. And we really did live for many years, everything with our kids. So I got to raise my kids doing permaculture. And it was an absolute joy. I mean, my boys are 13 and 17 now. Most people don't realize that. I fell in love with seeds while I was doing this. And I started mixing it into school. It was kind of wild that they let me do that. But I was doing English class and then doing like really, really rare seeds. And then I wrote a curriculum around permaculture. I started doing things that people hadn't seen done before. This is all throw so seed from seed I saved myself. I did a curriculum that went viral online and then went viral all over the world. Translations, working with people all over the world, became a speaker that traveled and helped people, different companies and organizations. And then in that process, I hit upon this idea of regenerative soil is really these five aspects. And this changed everything. Permaculture, that's David Holmgren's thing. That's Bill Mollison's thing. It's been around since the 70s. It's amazing. I love it. No one had come up with this for soil. So going down, permaculture is this first principles thinking from the nature's perspective and regenerative action. So it's very, 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 once you understand that it's first principles, it's very, very understandable to anyone. And then you can apply first principles thinking to almost anything once you get it. And so that's what I did here. So I'm like, what's most natural here? How did soils arrive? How do plants get their nutrition naturally? And how do we find those genetic highest levels of expression within that? So I started working with even more people. And I became a citizen scientist in the process. I still grow food. Been doing it the whole time. But I've been getting a little bit better. I've been improving. and so it's been a process. It's been an absolute process. My boys, you know, it's funny. Oliver, the younger one right there, is just an inch like shorter than me now. So it's really been it's been our lives. It's been the past, you know, 12 years. So I became an author, an educator, an entrepreneur, a soil expert, a seed farmer and family guy, and a citizen scientist in the past 10 years. And it's all been to build the bridge to a regenerative future as an educator so that adults, but also all those kids I was teaching, had an opportunity to go a different way. So wait, you're just saying you can't see that with a regular microscope. What are you talking about? How can this be, Matt? I mean, everyone's been talking about fungi and compost and fungi and soil for so long, and they have the regular microscopes. What are you talking about? Well, there's been this breakthrough, actually. The one on the left is the one that you're talking about, the bright field. That's what everyone knows. That's what, you know, is the thing that people are trained in until me and my work. And it's because of the one on the right. The one on the right is this guy. The one on the right is special. There's that little burger, if we think of it as a cheeseburger, you know, or a hamburger or something like that. Do you see it sandwiched in between the two things? That is the special part. And so and that camera on top is pretty handy as well. It's 4K. So I want us to just get that there's been a breakthrough, and it really comes down to the kind of materials that people are using. And so it's this lighting. It's non-destructive. That's the most incredible thing about it. Oh, let me just fix this. And so this lighting is simply a bandwidth of natural light, and it's not going to hurt your eyes like some of the things. That's why there's no cover around it. And so this is very select. It's LED, used to be mercury halide lamps. So we would break it, then we've got a hazardous waste site, as you know what I mean. It's like a hazmat suit site now. So this is without the mercury. This is home safe. This is a breakthrough. And this is the first time we've actually had the opportunity to do this. So this is Brightfield on the right, and I chose fungi that was visible. So this would be actually like useful, because otherwise you're going to be like, huh? Right. But you can see how dramatically different the space is. While Brightfield tends to make things look much more 2D, there's a three-dimensional depth to epifluorescence. There's a difference, and it highlights completely different things because it's highlighting the phosphorus that's glowing, right? And so the pumpkin trichome, and I say that because it's not all fungi that glows. It's the arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi because of its behavior. So you use this on saprophytic fungi in your compost, you're not going to see the same things. And in fact, the Basidiomycota saprophytic fungi that everyone's like, being like, I got the fungal compost, man. Like that won't even glow, right? So we have to like think about that. We have to like take this on board that we're like looking at a completely different modality. We have to look at it with a completely different lens and light, physically in reality, to see it. And so this implies that everyone that has done mycorrhizal inoculants up until now didn't check. I'll say that again. Everyone who did mycorrhizal inoculants up until this book and this thing right here, and meet my students, they didn't check. They spent all the money, they dusted the roots, they put them in the ground, and then just assumed and hoped. And I love hope. I love belief and faith. I'm all about that. I'm a man of faith. But come on, when you can just check now, right? Why wouldn't you? Because guess what? There's bad inoculants. There's crap inoculants that people are just buying and not even knowing because they never check. And because no one's checking, the entire industry has no one holding them accountable. So we have a completely unique situation here. This is why it was so important I did this work. So this right here, epifluorescence, Brightfield's on top, epifluorescence is in bottom. You can also see that there are things going on here inside the trichomes. There are bacterial and fungal endophytes. There's behaviors here that are like the roots, but different. The red is usually associated with chlorophyll, and usually associated with often algae, or the roots, the leaf surface. But this is a root hair, so it's holding life inside it. I'm not a root hair, excuse me. This is a plant hair. It's a trichome. And so, this I want to do DNA testing on that to learn more. This is the thing. This is why there's a trilogy here. We're regenerative soil microscopy right now, but regenerative soil DNA is next. So yeah, we're just going all the way. And this is a trichome that is fluorescing because there's life inside it, fungal life. And now this, you're like, something's unhappy about this organic matter. What's going on here, Matt? Yes, this is a dead piece of desiccated organic matter from a beaten synthetic conventional pasture. And that's phosphorus. Remember I said it shows phosphorus, right? Yeah, let's go all the way, baby. Let's go. Let's go. So that is phosphorus. And look at how different it looks. It's all glommed together. It's not a beautiful grown crystal. Like the way they grow crystals, the way the fungi grows crystal, it looks very, very different. And the organic matter doesn't look like this. It's usually covered with life, usually very vibrant. But we're just scratching the surface here today. I just wanted to introduce some things to you today so that you could see all the amazing things that are possible. Hold on, I gotta get John Carnes in here. He's from Radical. I met him at Radical Mycology Convergence years ago. Folks think they don't that I don't forget. I think that folks think that I forget. Hey, John Carnes, I recognize you. How's it going, buddy? Haven't seen you since Radical Mycology Convergence, RMC. The limitations of bright field. So this is the reality. Not only is epifluorescence have these advantages, there's these kind of like unspoken limitations of bright field that like people don't know about. And then I'm like bringing them to the fore, and people are like, what are you talking about? So I'm just going to be open about it and have people check it out because it's easily verifiable. This is all just stuff that should be known, isn't known. So some bacteria we cannot see. Did you know that? The Abbey li diffraction limit? It's real. It's a real thing. And there's bacteria that's smaller. And guess what? When you're at 4K on a really nice microscope and you go to 1000X and there's still things teasing at you. Yeah. There are still bacteria beyond your vision that are too small to see. So how do you count? Right. You have to do something different. And so this is the thing, is it's like I do a lot of myth busting. I do a lot of like, oh, that test is wrong. That test is fake. Faking you out. And so like there's a lot of stuff like that in this space. And so it's been kind of my mission and journey as I've been trying to get the best micro to macro lenses so that we can take correct action and get correct feedback loops from nature. It's led me to this. With bacteria, we cannot definitively identify the species. You can get pretty darn close because some of them are very, very unique, as you'll find out through some of the things we'll do today and through this month. You'll recognize some and I'll be like, that's what that is. But we can identify it by its morphology, and quite often that's what we're doing. And the morphology can change though. And but it's important because it tells you its type and role, but it can be different. So the DNA can be different between two morphological identicals. They look exactly the same, they behave exactly the same. You can have false fungi, that's bacteria, that breaks up into cocci and bacilli shapes. So you know what I mean? Like and then there's actually fungi that does that too. So there's a lot of crazy overlap between these spaces. And unless we're understanding that going in, we're gonna just have the wrong assumptions because they're assumptions, you know? And instead we have to create clear alignment and clarity through proper channels of feedback and comprehension of what the ranges of expression are. So it's one of those situations where people are like tend to want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. They're like, fine, morphological's terrible. And then they go, DNA. But that doesn't help either. You got to be holistic and include it all because morphological expression is actually the reaction to the environment. Get that? The morphological expression, the reason that there's lookalikes is because the environment is forcing those microbes to conform to that biological imperative. So morphology is incredibly incredibly important. But the pivot power of the microbes in the direction that they have DNA wise has an effect too. So it may look like this, it may behave like that, but then when things change, it may go sideways on you or suddenly be pivoting upward. There's also a lot of overlap, and people don't recognize that. When we start stacking things up and actually comparing them, we recognize the need to test things holistically, not just DNA, not just microscopy, not just minerals, but all of them. And, you know, throwing the energy in there too, like pH, like redox. So it's incredibly important to think holistically in this space and get beyond bright field and go into the additional microscopy methods. That's what I love to do. So epifluorescence, if you guys don't know epifluorescence, that is, you know, what I'm talking about when I'm flipping on the light here on this microscope. This is a propagule. This is what I was talking about when that section of root reanimates the next year. It's still glowing with the fungi, and it will literally come back to life. It's incredible. But this breaks down and gets destroyed through hot composting. It just cycles through. It goes through the decomposition cycle and disappears. At the beginning of the composting process, there's a lot of endophytes, and then there's only select endophytes at the end of it. So certain endophytes love the heat, lactic acid bacteria. Yeasts also are one of those things that we need to bring back. That's why EM is so powerful. That's why mycorrhizal fungi is so powerful. We need certain of these ingredients to be thought about independent of like the hot compost. I think for years, people thought hot compost could do anything and everything. And so they're like, no, just throw it in the hot compost. It'll be there. Whatever it is, it'll turn into what do we need, you know? And it's like, no, it's very specific. And most hot compost is alkaline. Most hot compost is really, basic. And so it's going to hurt your soil. So test pH, test your compost before you add it. And you might be soaking it with EM for a week. Just try it. This is the power of this space, is that it's like, just do the tests and you'll see, you'll know. And you'll be like, oh my gosh, my compost is pH 7.5 or 8 and I'm at pH 7. And I don't want to rock the boat any further alkaline. Thank you very much. Right. And you only know that by looking. And I've asked this question in front of rooms full of people so many times. Raise your hand if you've tested your compost before applying it for pH. No hands go up. For nitrates, no hands go up. For phosphorus, no hands go up. If you know anything about regenerative soil, you know those things are critical indicators of when to use things, how to use things, you know, right? And what to do next, you know? So it's so incredibly important. So what is it? Well, it's this light, this LED light that's cobalt blue, and it goes through a filter cube where it focuses it. And then as the light bounces back up, here, I'll just do it right now. Well, I'll turn it on. It's that blue light. I just turned it on. It's so subtle. You can't even like see it through there. But it's a cobalt blue light. And then it filters at like 5-10 nanometers so that nothing below that, only the glow above that shows. So it makes a very clean image. It's fabulous. So this is the breakthrough. And if we look here, you're like, wait, the glow's right there. And then there's glow in between the cells as it's spreading. Yeah, this is the beginning. It's actually the beginning of the season. And so this is a perennial. And so you can see the reddish, orangish squares covering the cells. That's the lipid-rich hyphal remainder, the senesced fungi. But it's coming back. This is like... is the beginning of the season. And so you see the old fungi and then the new fungi starting, and it's in between. And so this is going to be, in just a short period of time, going to be pumped with all that glow, that phosphorus. So this is it. You guys are learning here in real time. You're getting educated. This is great. So you can see the root is getting inoculated by that glow. That is the arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi migrating into those cells. This is fungi in the phloem. So we see that evidence of it traveling in the actual phloem of the plant. And this is fungal inoculated. You can see the one next to it, how it's not glowing. That is not fungally inoculated. And so it's been proven in many studies that fungi protects and lives inside the stomata and enhances it. Chlorophyll also looks red. There's so many uses. Look at this. If you're just doing spore work and mycorrhizal work, bright field, kind of chaotic. Epiflorescence is kind of elegant. And when you combine the two, whoa, suddenly it guides your eye and it makes all that other noise that is bright field is very noisy go into its proper place. So I just want you, I'm trying to open people's minds because these tools are so new that, a citizen scientist, me, is demonstrating them and helping, large scale farmers, some of them with hundreds of square miles of farmland that they're switching to regenerative agriculture to verify that their work is working. And also to make new discoveries. We didn't know that echetriads or potworms had autofluorescent hairs when they're munching on fungal dominant organic matter, but they do. And I was able to see that for the first time. There's nothing online or in any published study anywhere on earth about this. Yeah. So why is this valuable? We can see the fungal activity in clear fungi that we couldn't see before. And it you take the root, you put it underneath, and you flip the light on, and that's it. That's it. There's no stain, there's no water, there's no cutting, other than when you like remove the root, right? You get it now, don't you? You can verify these things in such a quick way, so fast, so easy. The root, if it's arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, can literally be 100% glowing. So it's easy to verify. And it's that quick. So epiflorescence shows the phosphorus glowing inside organic matters, minerals, and organisms. Epiflorescence makes viability stain testing faster and easier with less waste as well. One of the ways that I've streamlined that is actually to do viability tests side by side. So these were all stained with the same amount of stain, all the same dilution, but they're different samples of worm casting, and the amount of life in them determines how much of the dye is soaked up. So they soak up and eat the dye faster when there's more life. That's why the road, my dirt road, had more life in it than the wiggle worm castings or the brute castings or the Harris castings, though Harris was the best out of the bagged commercial worm castings. So I'm comparing the road, which is the natural dirt road, right? Natural worm castings to all the store-bought worm castings. Nature as the guide against all the rest. And you see how life-rich the natural casting is, and then how much brighter with dye and murkier in color. And also, I know it's a little blurry because of it's actually a video. It's a shot of a video. And that's really the way to do it is 4K video strips like this. I'm giving away all my secrets here, but this is going to be a standard that you're going to see, and you're going to see people show this, and they're going to be like, look, we have the standard or the guide in the first bracket. And then the second bracket is where you were 2 weeks ago when I first tested. And then the second bracket is I tested today. And people are like, oh, you've improved it. We got a lot more life. and I can see the plants are greener, things are coming up really well, but look, it's nowhere near as good as the example, the standard. And so they now, literally for consultants, this changes everything. You change the expectation of your client. You allow them to see the possible. This is the power. This suddenly allows everyone to speak everyone's language. The layman gets this, and now all the consultants have a pathway, not just like when do we arrive, but like, oh, I can see we're getting there. We're progressing. That is the most important thing for a client to know that things are changing. Think we're headed in the right direction. I think that most people who hire other people to do work for them have this understanding that, like, it's not a one and done, but they forget that. And so this really allows them to step back into their knowing. All right. And this viability testing, when you do it on organic matter, can you guys see the actual bacteria? How clearly defined is it? Can you see the streptococci? Can you see the tetrads and the Sarcina? It's all there. And that's the thing is like, we normally don't see the microbes with this much clarity in context. But because of the new tests, because of the new methods, everything is changing. All right. Just remember, fungi, mycorrhizal fungi increases phosphorus uptake by 10,000 times or more. That's what we're looking at. That's what the evidence of their behavior is. So imagine if an organism took up 10,000 times the ambient levels of a given mineral. I once knew a baby who turned orange because they only ate sweet potatoes. It happens. I know someone who has a daughter that only eats carrots and she's like yellowish compared to her sister, but she loves carrots and eats them constantly. The arbuscular mycorrhizal spores are no different. They take on the pigments of the environment around them. Why? Because they're hyper concentrations of the mycorrhizal fungi. And mycorrhizal fungi uses digestive enzymes to unlock the minerals from around it. It solubilizes, it has an external digestion. So whatever pigments are in the foods and the minerals around them, they uptake. And that's why you'll notice here that some of these are associated with different environments. There's a pattern and there's ranges. The microbiome meter also relies upon color. The bionutrient meter relies upon color. It's such an important, simple modality, but it's so powerful. And it's how everyone's doing a lot of testing. I mean, pH, even like the professionals, half the time they're, Solvita, like all these things are using more advanced sensors to read the color. So the color is the guiding thing still. And then manual lighting. This is totally off topic. We were talking about epifluorescence, but I want to talk about manual lighting now. We were talking about breakthroughs, right? So we can go out a little off topic. So I, in the middle of the Kickstarter for this book, which I'm setting up right now to come out. It's on. You can get this book on the permaculturestudent.com right now. I'm setting it up so that in a month, month and a half or so, we'll get it on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. But that book changed everything. And it was in the Kickstarter for that book, in that big launch. Everyone's excited. We were like, I think $50,000 in. Like there was all this momentum. And I was like, wow. And I just had like a beta burst. Beta bursts are when you're so hyper-focused on something, you have a genius like insight. This happens to everyone. This happens to my students in regenerative soil. They have an epiphany when they gain fluency in a moment. And I had this breakthrough and I was like, this is linear. This is linear. And then I discovered that there, I mean, with roots, with epifluorescence, you saw it. I was like, We're not smashing it. We're not cutting it up. We're not drowning it. We're putting it directly underneath. And then all the other instances we do. I don't like that. Epifluorescence is so cool. I want to just keep going. Let's keep going. And so I kept going. And so I said, why linear? Why smash it? Why drown it? Let's see what roots actually look like. Let's see some truth here, right? Let's go. And so I got past Brightfield, quite literally, and created manual lighting. At first, I called it light field and figured out that light field was something else that they had already used the name. So I changed to manual lighting to be even clearer as to what it is, right? But there is a special angle. I was doing it by hand, manually. My students are so smart. They're like, yeah, Matt, we attach night lights and reading, you know, the reading night lights, book clips. Yeah, it works fine. I'm like, you're geniuses, you know, but this is the discovery moment. This was all done by hand. And I figured out that there's there's actually an angle that light hits roots and they pop. And the reason is they're meant to be conductors of light. They're like fiber optic cables. Plants are supposed to absorb sunlight, duh, and then they conduct it down into the soil. And this is why bacteria do little flashes of lights to communicate. This is why people have said that like roots exude light. They carry and release light. Yeah, just like a fiber optic cable would. The cells of plants are literally little greenhouses and they're clear to let the light in for photosynthesis. Folks didn't realize this. This is how they do it. So plants are actually like this. Roots are actually like this. And we had this silhouette thing. And I love Dr. Lane Ingham and all the work she's done and all the progress she did in the 80s and 90s. I mean, she did so much good work. But we've arrived at new things. We've gone beyond the bright field. And bright field just doesn't have the realism for root examination that we need. We need to be able to see how the actual minerals attach, how the fungi interacts. We need to be able to see that the tip of the root is actually different than all the rest of it. There is a special behavior. We talk about meristem cells, the tip of the root, allowing stuff in and out. It's kind of really wild. We talk about Mother Earth. We talk about, oh, doesn't that look like a mother's, you know, mammary gland nipple, right? I mean, the baby gets information passed into the mom through the nipple, and then they literally produce mother's milk that can cure the baby of sickness because of this exchange. So we're seeing very similar things here. This is the meristem cells. This is where rhizophagy happens. This is where the nutrients come in and out. This is where the exudates go in and out. They come out and then they get reabsorbed. So this is where all the feedback comes from and goes for the plant. And it looks very familiar. And the behavior of it, it's very interesting. You can see the color differentiation. This is, everyone can verify this. You can go look at this. So is this necessary? It's the fastest and easiest way to view roots most naturally. And we're having breakthroughs constantly because of it. And the reality is if we don't look, we can't know for sure. And if we don't let nature speak to us and show us these holistic similarities and all these incredible things, we won't know. And when we actually put them together, they make such sense. Rhizophagy with the root tip being porous, letting things in and out, it's there. We can see it. It makes such sense. And that's the thing, is seeing is believing in so many ways. Doing these tests is believing and developing our competence. And if we want to have better soil, we need to become citizen scientists in many ways. The current test methods, they're just formalized experiments. And they just got grandfathered in and then calcified, unfortunately. I've gotten, you know, test results back from like all these different like instances like the lawn, the orchard, you know, annuals, perennials, and it's all the same recommendations from the university extension center. And it's like, there's no way. There's no way. Your lawn is not the same. We all know that. What are they doing? They're just mailing it in. They're just hoping that farmers aren't that smart. But guess what? Farmers are darn smart. They're more in touch. And that's why there's this huge movement. Everyone's trying to get away from the government and the forced conventional chemical ag because they can make you so much more money. They're free. They're natural. There's a huge thing going on right now. Regenerative ag is the biggest underground movement in America. And they're fighting. They're fighting uphill because it's freedom. It is them finally being able to earn money and get any. And this is why they're turning down farmers insurance. This is why they're turning away farmers loans from the government, growing real food. This is all happening right now. Real science is always in the process of developing new experiments for deeper insights. This is why this space is real science. This is why this space is continuously having breakthroughs. Real science is going to have a feedback loop and receptive, open perspective to receive new information from nature, which is going to then lead to innovations. You know, historically, there have been time periods when this has been true. And you've seen the gentleman scientist, and there's this, you know, Marie Curie and all these women scientists, and like, how did all this happen? Like, what is going on? It was a time period in America before all this professionalism and academic censorship and all this stuff began, when people actually had access and you had real people doing real science. And so science was like this huge upwelling. So we're back. It's happening. And a lot of it is that, like at the beginning of our journey today, people have lost confidence in the medical industry, the university science, because I mean, the university science, they're doing the extension center fields, right? Who manages those fields? Oh, graduate students. How many years have they been farming? None, right? You're basing the data off of conventional ag done by graduate students? They're not thinking about anything there. They're just like, in 2 years, they'll be gone. Give me the piece of paper. They don't care. I've interviewed people who wrote, this is why I interview the people who write the papers. I've interviewed people who wrote papers, and their response is, oh, I wrote that to get a grade. And I'm like, and this is why you guys, I talk to the actual people. This is why I do the actual work, because we're in a situation. But the beautiful thing is, together we can get ourselves out of it. And it's infinitely trustworthy because you can test it. It is in your hands. It is not a top-down, tyrannical, you know, authoritarian thing, ivory tower thing, none of that. We're returning to who we were. And that's the reality, is all those older farmers looking at the weather, checking out the water, they were scientists. They were testing things out. They were citizen scientists. And that's what we have to go back to being, because we can't trust, you know, the government to take care of our health or our food or our safety. They have the opposite. They do the opposite of that. Otherwise, we'd all be healthy, we'd all be safe, and we'd all trust the government. And it's quite the opposite. And so we have to do that work ourselves, because A, the way they've set up their system, they actually can't see straight. And so they actually can't accomplish the deal. They can't hit the target. And so that's why we're doing we're moving forward with my plan, which is the Our Soil database, which is going to flip it, put it into our hands, have us sharing the information and pushing the science forward. So we can't follow the old formula. You know, how are we going to bring back that fungi if we can't see them? I said our arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi like disappeared from our understanding because it was always there as a hidden partner. And because we left fields fallow, we did all these different things, we brought it back, but we sterilized so much of the world now. We've tilled so much of the world now. We've killed the fungi with fungicides everywhere. Fungicides are in the rain. It's in the water cycle, in the water tables, in the rivers and the streams. How do we bring this back if we can't even see them? Right? It's a simple technology. We can look at these things. This requires zero stains, no root prep, and no alterations. So when we ask ourselves, what's most natural here? This. And coincidentally, it's the fastest and easiest way to do it. And it's just shocking that we haven't been doing it this way. But now that we have the opportunity to, it's a no-brainer. And this is the freshest and most accurate way to capture things. So we're doing it immediately. There's nothing interfering. This is what's most natural. And meanwhile, you look at, you know, what's happened in America for the past 300 years, and we've lost our forests. Our primeval forests were destroyed a long time ago. And we replanted with this monoculture, which is dying, and then we're deforesting that monoculture that we replanted. And these wildfires are global. Some of them are being set, obviously, but most of them are inevitable because of the way they planted was without mycorrhizal fungi, was a monoculture. And then in California, they literally just, and this many places, they just routed all the water into the cities and designed it like an evil, like reverse inverse of permaculture, so that all the water like expertly gets drained perfectly off, and then they run turbines and sell the electricity back to the people in the foothills. And then the water goes to the cities, they use it once and flush it. And then in the foothills, they haven't had regular runoff and water, you know, in their snowmelt streams in 50 years, 60 years. So no wonder everything is so brittle, it's burning when you sneeze. So yeah, the droughts, I mean, it's crazy what's going on, but we need to attack all of this with agroforestry, regenerative science, permaculture, you know, like Neil Speckman did with 70 acres in the middle of Saudi Arabia with earthworks and perennials and bringing it back to a beautiful landscape with nothing else. So this is the thing. We've got the reverse the Fenton reaction. We are losing the organic matter. We are losing the carbon. We are losing the nitrogen, the nutrients. It's all oxidizing. This is what happens when we leave soil bare. This is what happens when we till. Remember, if we're partnering with over 90% of all plants, that they're all over the earth, but if we're doing this all over the earth, we're killing all the fungi. So you're like, wait, so tilling and leaving bare kills it. Yeah. Uh-huh. And you drive through like Nebraska and Iowa those certain times of year. Yeah, you get it. So we've been killing the fungi mechanically, and we've been killing the fungi with the fungicides. So this is the technology and the understanding that all forestry and all restoration and all landscaping services need, right? Because this, you know, this works for everything. Mycorrhizal fungi works in lawns too. Yeah, lawn care through the roof, through the roof. And I know it because many people who are students of mine are actually into that business. So just imagine that if they actually could see the things that actually matter, if they actually could attack the problem from the regenerative space, from a biological, from life, you know, imagine that. What if every nursery like was inoculating and verifying that their work was working? Just imagine that. All of these plants now are the healing modality rather than just more of the same taking. Just imagine that, flipping it. What if every naturalist, every forager, and every taxonomist was using these tools to better understand the soil? Just imagine that. What if you learned microscopy? What if you learned microscopy? What would you see? What would you do? What would you verify? Just imagine that. Yeah. Want to learn more? Well, join us for the live Q&A here in a minute. And the giveaway Giving away two copies. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. But make sure that you join us next time. And if you want to check out my books, go to thepermaculturestudent.com. And yeah, thank you for being with us. I appreciate you guys. All right. How was that? Thank you, Kyler. I appreciate it. How was that, you guys? Yeah. Thank you for being here. Hallie says the images are astounding. Ah, thank you. Jen says fantastic. Jeremy says awesome. Darcy says excellent. Eli says great. Ryan says, and thank you for the books. Yeah, you're welcome. I know many of you have that book. I understand. hopefully someone will respond today who doesn't have the book that I get to send it to. Thank you for being, hey, Crystal, good to see you. Yes, Marcelo, let's be the scientists because we can be. We have to grassroots, we have to lead from a community base. It has to be bioregional. That's the thing is, and it has to come from us. We have the best soil. Have you guys ever heard that? That like, they're like there's one of the first things that like Jeff Lawton said when I was like learning from him originally, like 12 years ago, he was like, well, you have the ability with your garden to have even better soil. And I was like, well, then why are we basing our science off of the university extension centers that are all done at that, you know, that same level that all the conventional traditional ag is done? Going to confuse us. It's going to set us off the wrong path. All right. Thank you for being here. Thank you, everyone. All right. So for the first giveaway, before we do the live Q&A, we'll do the one giveaway, then we'll do one after. Right. What is one new thing that you learned today? Share down below in the chat. All right. Maria says that the meristem is the plant nipple. Yes, that's what it looks like. I mean, I've been withholding that statement. I mean, I thought that the minute I saw it, I was like, really? We're just going to be anatomical, I guess, you know, and it literally works. And it you know, it's the reason why they talk about the birds and the bees, you know, with the kids and the flowers. There are things that are shaped the same and behave the same because of the shape. This goes back to the, and I know, all giggling aside, this goes back to literally the morphological necessity of the environmental stress. Nature comes up with very similar solutions to the same problem, right? And we look at like evolution, you know, there's all these different iterations of the same animal. But they're all like different. They're like different animals. They're like the same form came many times in iterations. And so we see the same things in everything, holistic, the same patterning behind everything. All right. Fenton reaction and soil oxidation. Okay, Farmer C, this book's for you because you didn't know those things. I'm going to give you a whole book on those things. So Farmer C, your assignment now is to message me, to email me. I'm going to give you all my email address. Here we go. It's matt@thepermaculturestudent.com. And please feel free to message me there. Email me there, your address. Farmer C, and let me know that you're Farmer C. But yeah, congratulations. Yeah, so this information, you know, is going to change everything for you. Yeah, that's, if that's new information, this is going to change everything for you. And I'm so excited to have that for you. The 4K strips are brilliant. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. It came to me as one of those things that like exploded out while I was doing the hyper-focused work of creating the 20-week course. That's what usually happens. I really do a lot of immersive work and intense work because what happens in that process is beta bursts. And many of you have seen it happen to me live. I'll have a moment and then I know something new. And then we all get to share it in the moment. And it's happened to you too. I've seen it happen to you, some of you. Yeah. So that's what it's about. Those epiphanies. I love those epiphanies. And that's what we're all here for each other to foment those and create a community of growth. Because that's really what this is all about. We want to be holistically growing, making our soil better, making our communities better, making ourselves better. Because that's what it really comes down to. Yeah, Zach, I love it. Learn that epifluorescence ewing does not need water dilution or to be crushed. No, it's just a root underneath, pull it, and it's there. Yeah. All right. So what questions do you guys have? I saw someone ask if EM have all the fungi you need. It does not. It has yeasts. That's the fungi. Yeah. And there's like Candida, I think albicans and a couple other things like that, but it's just yeast really. Yeah, blueberries go with Aracoid mycorrhizae. That's why I was like, that's the exception. Very good, Haley. Yeah, there's these odd things that we eat that don't partner with certain things. So like Swiss chard, beets, they're the same plant. They're just grown to emphasize different parts of the same plant. Did you know that? Yeah, that's why they called it silver beet originally, right? And so that doesn't partner with fungi that we know of. We may have killed off the microbe that connects to it that allows it to be fungal. That's my hope that we'll discover that. But it might just destroy the soil. So, yeah. But, you know, secession has disturbance in that whole equation, right? To start things over, you know? So there's fire. There's some plants that aren't so good. That's why I write these things down in the book so that people can know. Question, are you still offering soil tests as a service? No, I was never offering it as a service. I did it for my course to gather information, to do the things I needed for the course. The whole thing that I'm doing is creating a database and teaching people so we all can do the work together so that I can't do everyone's work for them. You'll see. When thousands of us are doing this work together, the database is going to change everything. And if you know anyone who's good with database stuff, who likes this stuff, who feels like this would be their calling, send them my way, because I'm looking for people to help me with a database now. I'm interviewing people. And to me, it seems very, very straightforward how to do it. So find someone who feels like it's straightforward. Yeah. And then send them my way. So thank you for being here. What other questions do you guys have? Should I be drying out spent brewer's grain before inoculating with EM to make the Bokashi bran? Thought I could do a 1:3 ratio spent grain to wood shavings to absorb excess moisture. What are your thoughts on this? I would take the wood shavings and maybe make biochar with it first and then use that to be way more absorbent. And it'll be like just a catalyst for the fungi. That would just make it go through the roof. Should you be drying out the spent brewer's grain before inoculating with EM? I don't see why you would want to oxidize it. I mean, if it's already reduced, we would lose energy. So capture where it's at. Great question, Raul. Thank you for being here. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. Yes, please write me, Cynthia, at matt@thepermaculturestudent.com. I'm actively seeking help. And the reality is once this gets momentum, they're going to be using it. All the universities are going to be like, oh, you have five times the organic matter than we've ever recorded? Oh, okay. Can we come in? And then we're going to make them pay so that we get our whole thing set up really, really rigorously. And we have like AIs that are labeled as AIs that help with interpretation and counting and stuff so that we can see if we even can approach the ability to do things with numbers. Because as I said earlier, and as we'll talk about in the myth busting, the numbers way of doing it that they've been doing, not just compost science, all soil science is totally wrong. And because of that, they're playing like make believe. And I don't want to play make believe. I want to just make really good plants and really good soil. And I want to see, like, what I love is seeing it when, like, I talk to a farmer with 30,000 acres that's like, I love your book. And then they like tell me all the things they're doing. And I'm like, you know, and they're like doing things by the tonnage. And they're like, we brought in a tanker of lactic acid bacteria last week. And you're like, holy cow, a tanker? They're like, yes, we just added it into the drip line for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of acres. And you're like, yeah. So people are doing this. People are making these changes. And they need people to verify. Eric says, price of microscope and what 4K camera do you use? I'm negotiating right now between 45% off and 50% off this and the power package. So those of you who are like, is there going to be another crazy sale? Like a crazy, crazy, mad, crazy sale? Yeah, we're going there. So they were like 45. And then I was like, oh, okay. And I'm talking to them, telling them, and then they're like, maybe 50%. And I was like, yeah, I sold you out last time, didn't I? Yeah, I remember. Yeah, and we sold all their microscopes, all of them. So I'm ready to do it again. You guys ready to do it again? Let's do it again. So we're gonna do 50% off, hopefully. Otherwise, it'll be 45% off. Lauren's got to get back to me today. But I'm gonna be announcing that. So those of you who are like holding your breath on buying this or not, 50% off, right? 45% off. It's gonna be big. When you sign up for the Regenerative Soil Microscopy course that starts on the 25th. You get a special code, and this is, I think it's like $6,000, but $3,000 instead. So it's wild. And the thing is, it's like there's no other technology that does this. They patented this. So this is the new industry standard. This is the only machine that properly does this. And this is why it's sweeping across all these different parts of agriculture, people in the cannabis industry, people in viticulture, everyone is applying this level of rigor because it's so simple. You put the root underneath there. Is the root 50% to 100% inoculated? You can tell. And then you're like, oh, it's 60%, 70%, something like that. It's not fully inoculated. Let's do another pass. Yeah. And then you re-inoculate, or you go, this inoculant sucks. We're not buying from this company ever again. And then you evaluate the next inoculant before you use it. And you're like, it's full of propagules. They're all glowing. Let's go. Let's go. The last one was just spores. Put it in. And you put it in, and then you get 80 to 90%, and then you look at it again in 2 weeks, and it's 100%. You did it. So it's like really incredibly important that we are able to evaluate the mycorrhizal fungi because it's actual fungi that matters. It's actual important fungi. So the price depends. And this is the i4, this is the industry standard. If you go to lwscientific.com, click on the regenerative soil and soil food web microscope icon, it'll take you through a bunch of different things. But yeah. Can you see the mycorrhizae hyphae in the bright field, but not the connection? No. Just like, you know how when I said that it goes 2D, when it's all white on white, all blasted out, you can't tell what is the root, what is the root hair, and what is the fungi. The glow gives you distinction. And it's so dramatic. You don't guess. That's the thing is people were doing like methylene blue and things like that, and it stains everything blue. And so you have to know what you're looking for first. The beauty of mycorrhizal fungi I've seen through this, it's you just flip on the light and you're like, it's the green part. And so people who don't know anything about any of this stuff go, oh yeah, I see the green. Wow, it's glowing. The whole thing's glowing. That's how easy and powerful this is. Meanwhile, you're like staining it all blue and you're like, yeah, the end of that's really kind of round and fatter. And I can, you know, that is a root actually. Yeah. You'd like end up like examining and going through and like evaluating and trying to be like really careful. It's exhausting. Because you're going, because you have to stay non-definitive the whole time because there's no instant. That's what that is. So I don't like it. I mean, I vetted all that stuff. I vetted the trypan blue. I got a whole thing of it there, despite it being toxic. But that's the thing is, it's like I literally did all the tests. I collected all the dang stains. But some of them were great. I like methylene blue. But some of them are just like, ah, they only sell you at a certain volume of them. And so I had to buy it. Is what it is. I had to do it to prove all this stuff out and verify that this is the right way. Because the weight of this is so big. This is 90% of our plants. This is a third to a half of the carbon sequestration. So this is the fastest pathway to repair soils. This is what plants evolved with, but we ignore it up until now. It's all these really momentous things that are tied up into this very simple module unit. And so I love the Lumen. I love LW Scientific. I love selling microscopes. I'm not an affiliate. I don't get any money, but that's why I get the biggest discounts, because I don't take any money. And that's why I love it so much. And I can just say, let's go, because I'm not making any money off it. You guys are getting the biggest discount. And that's what matters to me. Because the thing is, when you get this microscope, and I've seen several people get this microscope, it's like everything's different. Like everything shifts. The AM scope, the Omax, it worked for those modalities that people were doing, but those modalities are not effective. Those modalities don't connect to reality. They create false conceptions about what they are with the counting, the strictly bright field, the non-testing of all the other parameters. It just screws you up. The i4's clarity is so good that even in bright field, going up to 1000x, you turn it, you can see the teasing, and you're like, I didn't understand until now. And so there's this like fundamental, like we bring you to like the ocean, and you're like, this is the ocean, and it goes forever, and you're like, you actually have a deep comprehension kind of thing that happens that you're like, okay, right. It just goes like forever. You know what I mean? Like until you've seen that, you have a conception of it, but it's very different when you actually do it. And then with the roots, whoo, the second you put the root under there and pull the thing and see it, you're like, I'm seeing it. It's real. It's real. It's, oh my gosh, this is the first time I've actually seen it. And it's you seeing it. It's not me showing you cool pictures and you being like, that's awesome. I get it now. I can recognize it myself, which is important. But it's very different when you see it yourself. There's a competency that leads to a level of competence that is untouched in our current permaculture, organic agriculture, regenerative agricultural world, because no one's doing this work. I mean, I just had 160 students finish, so I shouldn't say that. We have dozens of students doing the work, and it's spreading and it's starting. We're at the beginning, and eventually all those 160 students are going to be doing the work. But it is just the beginning. And I took the time that I took to make sure that all this was ready. And I did all that extra testing on the tests to be sure. And that's why I did all the DNA testing on everything too. Because as soon as they opened that door, it was like, okay, no one did this before. Whoa. You know, and it's like, it's the flying blind thing that just freaks me out so much. It's like, how can you really do that to yourself? You know, how can you really just, and it's because we didn't have the technology. And until I had the option, I felt that way. And now that I have the technology and it's so simple, I'm like, oh my gosh, to not have this, I couldn't do anything properly without this. And if you get this book on my website, thepermaculturestudent.com, you will see immediately. And if, you know what? Just go to thepermaculturestudent.com and check out, you know, the pages. There's like, I think 30 or 40 pages from it. You know, I show a lot, but you'll get it. You'll see. The fact is, it's like there's never been a soil microscopy book before that actually showed the microbes. There's like soil mineral microscopy books. I have a few of them, but there's no microscopy books that show actual images. And if you've been studying online soil microscopy and biology, hopefully you guys have, you might notice that no one shows their work in the published literature. Or if they do, it's this like blurry picture and you're like, is your microscope that bad? No, they did that on purpose. They might even be putting like Vaseline on the thing. I don't know. But like they're doing that on purpose so that you can't count or verify or like double check them. You can't see the image clearly. You just got to take their word for it. So if you look online, it's a mess. And so this, our soil database is going to also provide clarity there in a way that's never been provided before. So I'm really excited about that. But again, you guys know anyone, send them my way. Pete Scallion, thanks Pete for showing up. I said, all the images in the scientific literature I've found since 2011 are black and white or pencil sketches. And so you see the situation we're in. We can't let them just tell us how it is and then make decisions for us. No, thanks. They don't know anything. Like literally USDA, all these guys, NRCS, like they don't know anything. They're like 20 years behind. So yeah, I wouldn't trust them with anything. I'm surprised they have driver's licenses. So it's pretty wild what we're letting people get away with and, you know, decide for other people right now. Is the camera included in the 50% off? Oh yeah, the camera, the BioVid camera, that's included. The lumen unit's included in that 50% off. Yeah. I believe the condenser, the dark field condenser unit, is as well. It's the power package. That's how you know it's me. The power package. So they created it for me and it's modeled after my setup. Yeah. I love them over at LW Scientific. They many of you know them very well because you've called them. I see my students here, and gotten special things and. We love LW Scientific because they're willing to do the work. This was like a labor of love, and they didn't know what would happen. They actually didn't know if this would sell because Elaine Ingham doesn't teach epifluorescence. In fact, when she started trying to learn, she struggled and they asked me to teach her. And I was like, well, I was in the middle of filming the course and writing the book. And I was like, I can't do that. But they literally did ask me that. That's why it's in the book, the screenshot of that email. But that was the moment that I realized that, like, how important this was, that I had the ball and the field was open and I had to run. And I was like, regardless of like how like ready I felt, I had to run. It's like my mentors behind me being like, and I'm like, okay, no one's ahead of me. No one's in front of me. No one's above me. I have to do this and I have to do it so right that it transcends whatever limitations I have. And that's why it took me longer than I thought it would take to do the book and the work for this. Because this is the linchpin to all life. This is the science that seemingly they don't connect properly in the universities. Because there's a reason they leave redox out. The second you know redox, you recognize the crossover to health. You guys recognize that? This is the thing that's like the biggest deal about this book that we're about to do the second giveaway for. Redox. Once you recognize that antioxidants are from highly reduced plants, that all the medicinal herbs are highly reduced, they're high in energy. I'm pretty sure someone was hired to make energy sound new age and woo-woo. Because redox is measured in millivolts. Our health of our bodies, the health of our food, health of our plants, can all be measured in electrical currents. This is what they don't want us to know. This is what they're faking us out with. So we have to do the work. We have to help each other. And we have to create this database. And it's going to change everything. So this is how important it is, you guys. This is how big this is. So from just the Q&A section, let's do one final question and then I'll ask the final giveaway. Yeah. Is the light field showing the magnetic field or current? No. The light field is manual lighting. I just called it light field at first because I was coming up with names. And it's just plain light. And it's showing you what the actual surface of it looks like. So bright fields from the bottom and you blast it with light and so it becomes a silhouette, or everything becomes 2D because you blasted it with light and made everything see through. So that's what that is the difference between the course you will start on the 25th and the one you started like a week or two ago. Oh yeah, huge difference. The one in a couple weeks is going to be microscopy and like doctorate level science that I'll bring down to like high school, like language level, and we'll be able to do regardless of what your experience is. That's the crazy thing is it's like all this stuff gets locked up in like really highfalutin language and these like thick texts, and you can do it all. It's not, they make it seem like it's so complicated, but it's not. It's our birthright to work with nature. We are nature. And the fact that they try to make it this way and like is totally purposeful. And maybe a bunch of it's egoic, but it's also the propedeutic function, which was literally set into our education system in 1905. So, yeah, it is definitely problematic. We actually have to do the work ourselves. Thank you for being here. All right. So what's one new thing you learned from the live Q&A today? From just the exchanges that we've had after the presentation? What's something that you learned from the live Q&A today? AMF can reanimate. Yes, it can. It can come back. And that's how it happens. just like life, you know, goes to those seeds and it seems inanimate and it comes back and it reanimates. It's all part of the system. And yeah, it goes down to spores too, you know, the AMF, but it's really from those propagules that we have the sure connection between those seasons. Yeah, the power package. I love it. Thanks, Billy. I need a new microscope, says Ruth. Oh my gosh, bless you. Thank you for being here, Ruth. Folks are checking out the power package. I love it. I love it. Yes, I'll be announcing the discount. I'll be putting it on the main page as soon as it's live. I messaged her. I meant to message her. I need to text her. I'll text her as soon as we get off. And the discount should kick in. We have a 37% discount right now in the course. When you sign up, it just is there. So this is on top of that. This is like for the month of March, we'll have like 45% on only the power package. So if you're like, well, I want the revelation, not the I4, and I'll get there with that, you can get that. That's fine. Or you can just get the I4 and get 37% off. So the options are all there. I'll have that hopefully up by the end of the day. Mike's in Hawaii, of all places. And so that's why there's a little delay on the decision. Thank you for being here, Zach. Yeah, it's exciting because this space is that important. That we all need this book. Sonia, I love it, Sonia. All right, well, Sonia, I'm going to send you this book then. You need it? You got it. All right. So again, that's matt@thepermaculturestudent.com. Email me, Sonia and Farmer C. I remember you. Just email me your address, because I don't know your address and I'm not going to grab it here. But send me that message so I can send you the book. I'm excited to send it to you. Ryan says, I need a microscope. That's what I learned. Think you have a new student here. Oh man, that's wonderful. A new maker movement in the, yes, Marcelo, yes. That's where I come from. I was a charter school teacher, you know, the maker movement in Fresno, the maker festivals, sending our kids to that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. I love it. Yeah, that's the thing is the reality is by if we look for top-down solutions, we are no longer the hero of the story. And the reality is it's like the heroes of the story largely are kids, the youth. And so that maker movement, all those kids coming up doing these things, it's going to be the most inspiring thing because they get to be the heroes of the story. And that's really where it's at. Oh, what's the link for the next course? I can grab that. I didn't even think it would come up. That is so funny. If you want, you can just type in regenerativesoilmicroscopy.com into the search thing. And that's a lead link. And so it'll then transform into my Kajabi course page. This is the full Kajabi course page link right here. Yeah, and so we're starting that up again. There, it's lifetime access. It's the most interactive online course that I've ever heard of or been part of. You hook up your screen from your camera to the Zoom so people see your actual microscope view. Think about that. You're in a group with four people. I switch your group up and recreate it each time. That's 12 people you just met networking like crazy. But then you also just saw 12 instances of hot compost under the microscope. Who's developing their eye? You are. Is there anyone who does that? No. There's no program that offers that. So I train people to set up the camera so that they actually can view each other's camera. They can show what they're talking about. Because how else would I be able to help people in real time? If you know what I mean? And so I can literally jump into your group and answer questions, help people fix things. And what actually happens most is social learning. Your peers are going to be like, oh, your condenser is just a little too low, buddy. Move that up. And then you suddenly like Because those silly things, like in the lab, you remember labs? You're like in the lab class, and the girl, smart girl next to you, is like, do this. And you're like, oh, okay. You know, that's all we're doing. We're just helping each other, like, do the easy parts. And then when you no longer worry about operating the microscope, you focus on interpretation, developing your eye, reps. And that's why first half of the course is informational, second half of the course is work. And so we're doing the work together every week. You're bringing your samples. I'm bringing my samples. We're looking at them together. Interpretation follows. It's the most rigorous, and it's the highest rated course I have. I have students that have taken all my courses. Thank you. Thank you. And those students have taken the microscopy course, and they're blown away because of the interaction. You really get to know people. You're in groups with them every week. You're seeing a dozen of the group every week, different dozen every time. So it's phenomenal. So thank you for being there. David says, I'm already in the course. It's all open. Is it meant to be all open? Yeah. I don't do the thing where I like hold it back and then I like release little bits unless I'm building it in real time. And then it's literally just coming in real time. But no, I don't do that. I feel like it's kind of weird. If it's open, you guys can quickly view everything and see, like, this is the bomb. I'm staying here. I'm like, that's how my business works. People see how I work and then they stay. Transparency is the key. And so yeah, I leave it all open. You can move as fast as you want, as slow as you want. You can jump around. You can see the full value of it. So yeah, it's all there. All the pre the weekly videos are there and open. And then the weekly lives happen fresh each new live season. So every week, either Saturday or Sunday, sometimes Friday, we'll meet, and I shift the time, usually 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock, because we have such an international audience. 4 o'clock hits the morning in Australia and New Zealand at the same time as it hits the night in Europe for most of our European people. So we have a lot of people in Europe and in Australia and New Zealand. So we get a huge mix, which again is awesome. So the live events are when we do it. So you learn about it, and then we do Q&A and we actually do it. So there's no other course like it. I wasn't even thinking about talking about it this week. I was just gonna tell you about the invisible world that our plants rely upon. But thank you for asking. Thank you for being part of it. Thank you for signing up. Yeah, David, that's awesome. And thank you for being here, my alumni. I see Crystal. I see Jeremy. I see so many of you here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Yes. So much great stuff. All right, congratulations to those winners. Join us next week, next Thursday, 4 o'clock Central, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. We'll be diving deeper, more amazing pictures, and maybe some amazing video in 4K. Because that's one of the things I really like to show, is that these things that we see as static are actually moving. And you get a lot more information when something's moving. Our eyes thrive on the movement. That's why I do those 4K side-by-side assessments as video. It changes everything. All right, to a new level in your practice, to a new level in agriculture all over the world, to a new level of health. I'm Matt Powers. Grow abundantly, learn daily, and live regeneratively. And I will see you all next week. Thank you for being part of this community. Have a great one, you guys. I'm going to unmute you all. You're all unmuted.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Have a great night.
Have a great one,
folks.
Bye, Matt.
Yeah.
Regenerative soil microscopy is the first soil microscopy book of its kind ever available. It focuses on the soil biology, compost, mycorrhizal fungi, rhizophagy, and so much more. That is the life that makes all of our plants nutritious and healthy. And it's also a how to operate the microscope, how to do stains, the recipes, the directions, the step-by-step. That's all in there. But not only that, there's a morphological guide so you can compare what you're seeing against proven lab-certified samples. So this is a game changer. This has never been offered before. If you want to see examples of the fungi and bacteria that matter, the protozoa, the nematodes, the macroarthropods, the microarthropods, all the soil microbes, all the trophic levels, if you want to see examples of them, if you want to be able to compare them, you want to be able to look at the mouth parts, you want to look at a gallery of images so that you can sharpen your eyes so that you have a reference of comparison as you travel and explore soil, compost, indigenous microorganisms, even roots and plant leaves, we cover it all. And it goes beyond bright field. So it's dark field, it's epifluorescence lighting, so you can see the invisible fungi, you can see the phosphorus, where it goes and where it glows. And also manual lighting, which is a new creation that allows us to visualize roots and plant surfaces at a completely new level and allows us to see them in a much more natural and understandable light. If we don't look, we don't see. If we don't look through multiple lenses, we miss what is otherwise unseen. Mycorrhizal fungi is invisible in bright field microscopy. New methods, new interpretive keys, new insights, new discoveries, and next level results. We even have case studies comparing Johnson Sue to hot composting, to vermicomposting, to dead sandy soil, to a compacted dirt road, effective microbes comparisons to EM1, EM3, to brews of purple non-sulfur bacteria, and even collections of indigenous microorganisms. We look at them all and evaluate them all together in this book. There's case studies, there's how to learn how to do the microscope, but also there's morphological guides, there's sizing guides. There is so much information in this book that has never been available ever in one place. So compare the images to the tests and see for yourself. Get all the data, all the images, all the sample types, all in one book. Order your copy today at thepermaculturestudent.com. Thank you so much for being interested in soil and soil microscopy, because this is the only way that we're going to really know if our soils are regenerative. Regenerative soils are the linchpin to healthy plants and to healthy people. To healthy futures. Thank you for being part of this great arc of regenerative soil. I'm Matt Powers. Grow abundantly, learn daily, and live regeneratively. Click the link and look inside the book. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. I guarantee it. You won't be disappointed. Check it out. I'm so excited. Have a great one, guys. And check out the